Good afternoon. I'm very glad to welcome you all to Kerecis 3Q results conference call. Today the company is represented by the management, Mr. Andrzej Wiewiórek, Chairman of the Board, Mrs. Anastazja Wojtachowska, CFO, and Jurij Kowalczuk, Corporate Investment Director. We'll start with the presentation, then there will be time for Q&A. On the company's investor relations website, there is presentation for 3Q results and company presentation available if you need. Now let me hand over to the company for the presentation of 3Q results.
Thank you, Marcin. Dear ladies and gentlemen, thank you for taking our call. Today we are presenting to you Kerecis financial results for the third quarter financial year 2018, which is ended in March 2018. The company's revenue for reporting period totaled $451 million. EBITDA stood at $73 million, and net loss attributable to shareholders amounted at $39 million. The negative bottom line results affected by, first of all, $25 million of non-cash foreign exchange loss on revaluing intra-group hryvnia balances due to the appreciation of the local currency, and $29 million non-cash legal reserves to recognize for the maximum future outflows, which might be required in respect of arbitration awards related to the acquisition of Styomi Holding, which we've done in April 2012. Currently, the arbitration award is subject to challenge in the High Court in London. We believe we have good grounds for the challenge, but both outcome of challenge and the expected period of time which court will make a decision is unknown. Moving to on a segment performance, overall operating environment remain unchanged and challenging. Weak harvest of grain and oilseeds determine the market situation for the whole season, depressing our margin and affecting also our operating numbers. In third quarter 2018, our EBITDA margin in crushing business expectedly reduced to $54 per ton of oil in bulk. The competition is tightening when less and less seeds remain available close to the end of the season. Over the period of the third quarter, we processed 850,000 tons of the sunseed, operating our plant at the full capacity. And some of our portion of sunflower seeds produced, we scheduled to be shipped in the next quarter, so fourth quarter, and wherefore we substantially increase our carry stock. Driven by volume and margin decline, total EBITDA of sunflower oil division reduced to $17 million. I must say that most of our key competitors in crushing business are running quite low utilization rate at the moment, while the several we can see right now that several smaller plants already ceased their operation until the end of the season. Overall, it has been very challenging season for crushing sector. Grain in infrastructure division in third quarter financial third quarter generated EBITDA of $50 million, driven by six-time year-to-year grain segment contribution increase. While the profitability of the trading business in Ukraine remains weak, we have pretty much no margin. Our new setup, Avery, with trading activity were quite profitable given the volatile soft commodity environment. Prop trading along with origination arbitrage strategies contributed the most of this growth. But generally, infrastructure segment experienced slight decline in performance, but mainly continuing of the trend of the season because of the volumes are getting lower. Farming segment generated $17 million of EBITDA in third quarter, pretty much in line with our expectation. The view on a full year performance remain unchanged. We will produce just above $85 million of the total EBITDA in farming. In May, Kerecis completed spring sowing campaign with the total planted area this season reaching 540,000 hectares. Initially, spring weather conditions were not ideal as abnormal cold March immediately transited into the hot April, However, rainy May brought spring crop to the normal development pattern, but I would like to say that it's anyway early stage to make the forecast, as weather will play the key elements. In parallel, we have announced earlier we slightly optimized our land bank by divesting around 29,000 hectares of remote located farmland in the third quarter and beginning of the fourth quarter. So several words about the next financial year 19, which is very close. Generally, we're expecting more positive situation for the kernel. In sunflower seeds oil division, we anticipate crushing margins to improve. The recovery is to be driven year-to-year growth on the planting areas under the sunflower seed. We estimated increase at least 400,000 hectares at the moment. And also, we believe that crop yield should recover. And the crushing margin, capacity at the market stays at the same level. But obviously, the, once again, weather will be the key element, and I'm assuming there's no weather surprise. Moreover, recent changes on taxation of the soybean export voted by Ukrainian parliament might have slightly positive effect on the sun seed crushing margins. The grain and infrastructure part of our business become more and more focused on infrastructure. As low entry barriers make grain trading business very high competitive, and it's very difficult to make margins at the moment in Ukraine. Wherefore, we expect continuation of the weak physical trading profitability, while stable silent export terminals performance next season. Volume-wise, we expect some growth export driven by commissioning the first stage of our new grain terminal in Chernomorsk, scheduled in autumn 2018, and commissioning as well several silos, which we are constructing right now. So far, the construction goes as expected, and scheduled commissioning dates looks realistic. Farming segment's growth next year is anticipated to be driven, first of all, the increase of contribution from the new land acquired in summer 2017, which this year has performed pretty poorly. The rebound to the soft commodity prices, which is happening already now, we see that the most of the our important products like corn and soybeans higher than the last season is very having the, at the moment a positive effect on our farming segment, which we actively hedging our own production. And normalization of the crop yields in Ukraine following the last year drought. Once again, I must say that weather will play the main role here. So the execution of our business expansion project goes as well according to the schedule. The new crushing plant, we already signed contracts with the producers of the key equipment, launched project documentation preparation, and started other preparatory works. For grain transshipment terminal, we are just about to start installing already vertical grain storages and connecting the new construction with existing our existing storage in the Transbark terminal. Once again, as I already mentioned, we plan to commission the first stage in autumn 2018. Along with other greenfield projects which we're doing at the moment, we budget $240 million of the capital expenditures in coming financial year 19 and $200 million capital expenditures in financial year 2020. This is pretty much everything what I wanted to cover. We're ready for your questions. Please go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind, please press star followed by two. And when preparing to ask your question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally. As a reminder, that's star followed by one to ask a question. Our first question today comes from Andrew Howell from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hello, Andre. Good afternoon. Thanks very much for the call. Just a couple questions from me. Firstly, on this legal case, maybe you could just give a little bit more background. I think this is not something which I was too familiar with, and in particular would like to understand, you know, how likely you think it is that this fine is reduced, how strong is your case, and kind of what is the timeline through which you find out, because it's not an inconsequential amount we're talking about here. And then the second question just has to do with the oil crush margin for next year, given possibly higher utilization of crushing assets in Ukraine. Where do you think that margin might get to, in your view? Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. So for court situation, unfortunately, I'm a bit tied up with the information which I can disclose, because we right now we have the high court process. So this is, but what I can say, this is the retained amount we had for the payment on this acquisition. And right now, it's a bit of, you know, conditions met by this transaction. It was like a 4 years. I mean, not all conditions we believe met under this deal, and this was 4 years of dispute in the English court in arbitration. Right now, we believe that we should reduce the amount of the payment, and we should succeed partially at least at the high court, but I would not comment for how much and when. And I think the process will take at least 1.5 year to go through the high court in London. So I would try to be, you know, stay silent and not give too much information, unfortunately. Regarding the crushing margins, once again, it's very tough questions to give you the forecast of the crushing margin next season. What I see at the moment, the combination between the increase of the area plantation by the 400,000 hectares, plus the soybean new legislation, and if the weather will not bring the bad surprises, and we will have a normal yield, I would say average to the country of 2.5 tons of soy sun seeds per hectare, we can probably aiming of the $70, at least $70 per ton of oil margin next season. I think the main element will be how much Ukraine will produce the crop for the sun seeds, and that's going to be the key point. The market will be on the farmer side, or the market will be on a little bit on the crusher side. Depends on the crop pressure and the size of the crop. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Our next question today comes from Jiri Fiedler from Pera Partners Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you for the presentation. I have a few questions as usual. Could you please remind me what is the consideration paid by an entity to which Kernel assigned the Taman Terminal Transshipment Quota to? I mean, is it a relationship like a lesser lessee in this kind, in this case, assignee and assigner, but is there any consideration? I suppose there is a consideration that is paid by the operator actually of the Taman Terminal.
It's already signed deal with the Glencore. They are going to pay us $8 to $9 million. $8 to $9 million of the amount as a fixed amount take or pay without any cost for us.
Oh, and $81 million?
No, $8 to $9 million.
All right, okay,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Take eight to be on the safe side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Then, all right. This is also related to the Taman. Okay, so comments on increases of both net other operating income and general and administrative expenses mentioned a company or an entity, Abere, as the cause for these two items increases. Could you briefly talk about the relationship? Because I learned it's probably something related to futures contracts trading. Could you once again repeat
your question regarding administrative costs of Avere? This I get it, but what else?
Yes, your comments on net other operating income and on general and administrative expenses cover these companies, you know, other. So what is the relationship? Yes. What is the specific amount that was paid and that was received, for example, as an income and as an expense attributable to this other or this entity?
Okay, so regarding the Avere, it's not amount we paid. The Avere is our trading arm, and we will carry the cost of the Avere, which is around $9 million a year. This is a fixed cost, administrative cost, which we will carry all the time. Regarding the profit, $9 million. Regarding the profit which Avere is producing this quarter, I would be a little bit not very excited about it because it was a pretty unique and special situation this quarter because of the huge volatility and they produced this very good result. I don't think the Avere will produce this result every quarter or every year. This is unlikely, absolutely, and we don't expect this at all because Avere is running their activity with a very strict limitation of the VAR and the drawdown limit and all this stuff. So, and that's why they won't be able to produce the big results. I'm pretty sure that Avere will every year cover their cost and even produce some extra additional profit to their cost, but it's not going to be very substantial. Mm-hmm. And I would say I would take this third quarter as a special situation for Avere, and that's it. But answering your question, $9 million a year, the cost we will cover, fixed cost we will have to pay for Avere, and I think going forward Avere will cover their cost, makes additional contribution, and help us to marketing our goods across the world.
Sure. I see. Understand. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you.
Then yes, regarding that acquisition, that was actually answered. Within net cash used in investing activities, there are relatively large outflows, specifically $38 million in the first three quarters of this and $36 million for the first three quarters of the past fiscal year, called loans for stock options execution. Again, could you please tell us some details on this? It's stated within investing activities. I suppose that it's not related to the operating ones. Therefore, I'm a bit afraid, you know, it's a result, a negative result of certain some speculations on the account of the company. So just could you please dwell on these doubts, or could you please tell
I'm
me a bit more?
I'm a bit
more
lost. Can you answer the question, please?
Sure, Andrei. So you're talking about the cash flow statement. Is that correct?
Cash flow statement, and within investing activities, there is its own, namely, it's within the. It's on page 8 of your quarterly report for the latest quarter, of course, and it's within the comments or certain adjustments to get cash flows, and there is the second table from the bottom, net cash used in investing activities, and the last item is loans for stock options execution, and in the first 9 months of the last fiscal year, $38 million, and in the first three quarters of this fiscal year, $36 million outflow of cash, you know, or cash equivalents. So how this arose, or could you please tell me?
Your question is clear. I'm very sorry, but I have to admit that this is typo. It should be purchase of financial assets. We didn't provide any loans to stock option execution. This is a typo. It should be on the line above. It's a purchase of financial assets.
On financial, not within investing activities, but within financial financial activities, within the cash flow statement, right?
Absolutely.
Am I correct?
Yeah.
All right. But it should be as an inflow, as a positive value, not an outflow like in this case. Within the financing activities, it should be, or you talked about a financial asset, or was it a purchase of financial asset? Oh, it can't be. No.
It was purchase of financial assets, not loan, but purchase of financial assets, outflow of 27 million.
I see. So it's an investment, actually. So that's going to be recovered, or it will come back to the company in the period to come,
absolutely,
in the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I see. Yeah, sure. Of course. Yeah.
Thank you for the question.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for the question.
Uh-huh.
All right, thank you very much.
May I have one more question? You talked about your focus on the infrastructure business. I've read a few articles about high or fierce competition, competing for, or especially commodity growers are competing for rail cars. And how is actually to the ports, to the terminals, how is the transshipment of the commodities from silos or whatever organized within the company? Are these services outsourced? It means that you would have to face the fierce competition, or is there an in-house fleet of rail cars, or, you know, so.
I got the question. So the 85% of the goods delivering to the port by the wagon, and obviously this is the railway state company, and it's, generally speaking, it's
a monopoly, a local. It's a local monopoly.
Yeah, but anyway. So it's a tough situation in Ukraine, but we definitely manage it somehow. And 15% of the delivery to the port is mainly by the trucks. Trucks, we're using the third-party agreements, which is delivering the goods for us. For the trucks, it's not a problem at all. But for the wagons, sometimes we have in the peak of the seasons, we have a bit of lack of the wagons, which is slowed down the process a little bit. But generally, we try to manage it in a good way.
And do you think the relationship between Kernel Holdings and the state-owned transportation company is sustainable and long-term, I would say?
It's not about relationship per se. It's about how your port is operate, how you put in vessels, how quickly you rotate your terminal. And if your terminal are stuck and full of grain and you can't load it into the vessel because you have no vessel, it doesn't matter what your relationship is. You need a rotation. You need a movement of the goods. So, and that's the whole about how you manage your logistics. If you manage logistics properly, you're able to rotate your terminal more and because the railway company, this Ukraine railway, they're also interested into the turnover. They're not interested into the stuck wagons full of goods in the port. So, and that's just a daily job which a logistic team is doing on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So I think we should move to the right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question today comes from Nikolay Mentasashvili from Insight Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, many thanks for the presentation. A question on the bank facilities. So currently, I think it seems like you'll most likely end up with gross leverage of more than 2.5 and kind of EBITDA to financial cost may be less than 4. And I think that these were the levels you highlighted as kind of covenants for the banking facilities. If that is the case, what kind of amount of banking facilities will be available in June, and will you need to replace them?
Yeah.
So Anastasia will comment on the banks in details, but in terms of the covenants, yes, it's true. We're slightly higher than our own targets, but we would definitely go down and improve our leverage and the covenants towards the end of the June. That's what you're going to see in the fourth quarter and annual results. So I think we're pretty much okay, and also we're pretty much okay with the bank's facilities in line. Anastasia, can you additionally comment on that?
Yeah, sure. The most important covenant we have is EBITDA to fixed charges, which should not be below 3. We have enough room. In terms of the facilities, for the two most important facilities, to be except to finance our grain and oil businesses, we signed 3-year facilities, so we are secured in terms of working capital. We do have some short-term facilities, some of them committed, some of them uncommitted, but they are, let's say, not that important, but definitely available for Cardinal. So once again, we are fine with the most important covenant, and as Andrei mentioned, the level of our total debt and net debt will decrease till end of the financial year.
So if you looked in more details in the balance sheet, you will see that the whole debts are just pretty much linked to the growth on the inventories. So this is pretty much our working capital. And we will definitely sell it more actively. And you will see it in the fourth quarter. The inventory level will go substantially down, and the debt level as well. So it's pretty much the way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And on of the readily marketable inventories you currently have, how much are pre-sold? Because you have significant part already pre-sold, right?
I think, Anastasia, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's like more than 90% or I don't know, maybe 75%.
It's in the range of 80%.
Okay.
80% is pre-sold.
Yeah. So you don't run
the risk,
price
the risk,
on that? Uh-huh.
Yeah, we carry a little bit. We carry a little bit of the risk, but it's not substantial.
Okay. And just a quick one, do you expect any decrease in the crushing capacity in Ukraine given the weak conditions this year, or it's not really
It's tough to say decrease in capacity. It means that the small or whatever producers should not operate next year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will depend on the crushing margins which the market will have. So with the 50, with the crushing margin 50, around 50 will be tough for sure, and that's for mm-hmm. for the many of the crushers, this will be bottom line negative or below the line. But if the harvest will be good, and mm-hmm. the crushing margins will be around 70 or above the 70, I think everyone will try to crush at least at the beginning. And half of the season for sure.
Mm-hmm. And you don't see any kind of bankruptcies among like smaller local companies?
At the moment, it's an interesting point that I wouldn't say that the small guys don't have the big amount of debt. I think mm-hmm. the small guys have a problem with the high cost and lack of scale, and I think they just simply don't make money. I would say that the players, middle-sized players who invested recently into the crushing facility, they have a substantial amount of debt, and they're facing, I would say, liquidity problems, and because they pay very high interest rates payments. So the bottom line, I would say, negative today. We can see some potential issues in the coming years with these middle guys who would not be able to serve their debts. But I think it's still a process. I think banks are still trying to, you know, give them oxygen and you know, roll the loans rather than go into the bankruptcy procedures.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Our next question today comes from Ksenia Misamkina from UBP Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity to ask a question. I just wanted to clarify on your maintenance covenants. You mentioned there is a limit of is it 3x net debt to EBITDA? And what amount is this facility? Thank you.
It's not net debt to EBITDA. This is our father. It's not net debt to EBITDA. It's EBITDA to fixed charge, let's say interest cover ratio. It's not exactly this, but it's very close. Should not be below three, not higher than three. Should not be below than three.
Okay, and for what amount, please?
For what amount? You mean what? Sorry.
So there is this covenant on a facility. What facility is it? For what amount?
No, this facility we have in our bonds, and also for the main, actually for all of our facilities, because that's our approach to have the same covenant package through all the portfolio.
Okay, and is this the only financial covenant that you have? Do you have any other ones?
We do have other covenants, like, for example, net adjusted debt. But the room is big. Net adjusted debt means debt minus cash minus inventory. And this covenant we have is some of our banking facilities.
And what is the limit, please?
The limit is 1.3.
So that's net adjusted debt.
That's tested 1 per year, end of our financial year.
So what's the ratio? Net adjusted debt to what?
EBITDA.
EBITDA, okay. Mm. And this is tested every year?
By end of the financial year.
And this is a maintenance covenant?
It's not maintenance. It should be we should be in line with this covenant as of 30th of June.
So it's an incurrence. Hello, sir.
Yeah.
So it's an incurrence covenant.
We should be in line with this covenant as for one day, 30th of June, end of the financial year.
Sorry, but my question is quite specific. Is it an incurrence covenant? So if you go above this limit, you can't borrow more?
We can draw. If we're not in line with this covenant, which is highly unlikely, but for example, if we are not, if we breach this covenant as of 31st of December, we still can borrow.
Okay, but what are the implications then of breaching it?
Then it depends on the facility. We have to receive a waiver from the bank. Once again, this covenant we have with our bank facilities, not with the bond. And then
yeah.
we need to receive a waiver.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, it's an incurrence covenant, right? It's not a maintenance covenant. That's what I'm trying to clarify.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, but. Even, you know, with our bonds, for example, we have this EBITDA to fixed charge covenant. But, for example, we still can borrow some of our facilities, like we can finance our main businesses with PXF facilities. We have a special carve-out for this. So in terms of our operation, we will not be limited in terms of our, you know, main businesses.
Right. Okay. Thanks very much. And, sorry, last one. For what amount is this facility that has net adjusted debt to EBITDA of 1.3x?
We have two PXF facilities. Committed part is in a range of 200 million.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question today comes from Stella Cridge from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Good afternoon. Many thanks for the presentation. I have three questions, if that's not too many. The first one is in relation to the CapEx for next year. So you mentioned you'd already started to sign some agreements with regards to new crushing plants. So I just wondered if you can give us an update on how that looks and you know, what kind of proportion of spending might be on that greenfield facility. The second relates to the working capital. So I already heard your comments about the reversal that's expected in Q4, but given that there has been quite a large outflow year to date, would it be possible to give us a more kind of specific idea of what you think that might be? Because obviously that's quite important for the leverage trajectory. And then finally, it was on the farming segment. So you obviously have these new assets that you started to work on this year. Could you give a sense of, you know, how much progress you've made on integrating those assets, how much you've kind of managed to monetize them already, but what kind of growth in terms of earnings we might be able to expect in the next financial year? That would be great.
Thank you very much. So I would probably start from the last question, from the farming. So the integration is going pretty okay. So, and I think this year we will already see the results, more positive results in the farming operation. So we expect to come back to the level at least $220-$250 per hectare of margins on our lending. Once again, I think the integration is doing fine, but it's just the things which can influence and impact it on the result is mainly the weather. And if weather will not bring the bad surprises, I think we should be okay to produce a good result in our farming operation. Regarding the CapEx, so as I mentioned, the budget for the CapEx is $240 million. And Anastasia, can you please help me? How much we plan to from this 240 for the new crushing plant to spend in financial year 19?
In a range of 60 million. Yeah, in a range of 660.
So that's in 240, we've got crushing plant, we've got new port terminal, we've got silos, we're buying some wagons, and we're also investing in the green energy. So that's pretty much main project for the 240 million. And the working capital, Anastasia, can you just give us...
may I ask you to repeat the question to be sure that I'm...
The working capital availability?
Just the extent of the reversal that you would expect in Q4?
250 at least.
$250 million reversal in the final quarter?
Yeah, which is quite normal. We decrease normally, again, subject to the level of the inventories by the end of financial year, but at least 150 to 200 million.
150 to 200. Okay. And so if I could clarify on the farming segment, so you harvested 385,000 hectares in FY17.
Just planted.
Planted. So just to get a sense, though, for FY18 and then going into FY19, I didn't quite catch earlier on what you were saying in terms of total land that's going to be under production.
Okay, let me clarify it again for you. So the amount of the land which we operate at the moment is 540,000, and the total EBITDA for the financial year 18 from this land we're expecting 85 million plus. That's the result of financial year 18. But for financial 19, giving the what I just explained, that we expect the normalized yields. We see already the soft commodity prices are rebounded, which helps us with our farming operation. So the overall, we believe that the farming will produce way better results in the financial year 19. Giving we have no weather surprise in the June, July, August.
Okay, and you were mentioning in terms of EBITDA per hectare. So for FY18 and then FY19, what's the realized level for this year, and then you know what's the reversal that you expect?
That's what. You, 1 second, pretty much 85 into. And let's see, what's the margin per gig that we have? $240. So we have $150, $160 per hectare right now, and we're expecting $230 plus minus maybe $240, $250 to next year.
Okay, perfect. That's great. And sorry if you don't mind me just having one final clarification. So you were discussing earlier on the investment in financial assets. It's on the cash flow statement. What are actually these financial assets? Because obviously you made some free cash flow in Q3, but that hasn't been reflected in the net debt yet. So just wondering, you know, how liquid these assets might be.
Anastasia?
Yeah, that's a combination. We have some government bonds, Ukrainian government bonds, and also some financial assets related to other activities. So it's a combination of both.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
We have another question from Clint Fedor from Lord Abbott. Oh. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just one more clarification on working capital post Stella's question. You've covered fourth quarter quite well. Do you expect first quarter of 2019 and going forward, what do you expect the inventory drawdown? Selling inventory or working capital release? Is it going to be the same, like you said, a minimum of 150 to 200 million, or is it expected to be lower?
You mean what would be the level of inventories or?
The working capital, basically. I'm just further clarifying how much you're going to sell in, I guess, the first quarter of 2019.
In the first quarter of 2019? Yeah.
19.
First quarter would be tricky because we will finalize, you know, we will sell our inventories from the previous year, but we will start building up the, you know, inventories for the next financial year. So the first quarter normally is negative in terms of working capital.
Mm-hmm.
Because we will be buying grain and probably even some seeds already.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, thank you.
Our next question today comes from Jacob Skodbeck from NBank. Please go ahead.
Hello, I've got only one last question about the workforce and the pressure, the inflation of the wages in Ukraine in the group. We see a lot of people from Ukraine coming to Poland, like recently for the last 3 years, and I'm just wondering what kind of cost pressure do you see right now in the group for the workforce, and do you have enough people to operate on all these sites that you have a business?
Yeah, good question. Unfortunately, you're absolutely right. We feel this pressure at least for the last year, and we have no much option. And it's mainly concerned low-level workers on crushing plants and silos, and partially farming as well. So there's no other way. We have to increase wages, and because this is the market, and we have to offer them a better conditions, and it's slightly increasing our cost on silos and crushing plants. So yeah, unfortunately, that's the situation today. The company is looking at the long-term perspective. The only way is to try to reduce as many as possible the number of employees, and at the same time increasing the salary. So that's the way to keep the cost steady or slow growth. That's no other way. Hello?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question today comes from Martin Novak from IPO PMA Securities. Please go ahead, Martin.
Good afternoon. I have two questions. One clarification, because if I don't know if I catch correctly, you mentioned that the annual fixed cost for Alvera would be around $9 million. And according to the first quarter, the G&A costs increased by around $5 million quarter on quarter. So are there any other costs than the fixed ones for the Alvera? And the second question would be, I'm not sure if that topic was mentioned already, but can you comment please on the recent changes in cancellation of VAT refund on soybean from this week? Following those changes, do you still expect to crush your own soybean volumes in your own crushing facility, or how do you assess the potential impact of those law modification on your next year results? Thank you, Anna.
All right. Thank you. So definitely, in terms of Avere, the running cost going forward is a $9 million a year. You might see it probably a little bit more because it was a setup cost, a one-off, which we invested in the system, computers, and stuff like this. And we probably put it in an administrative cost. And I'll have to see it. Just take a look, please, and correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe it's, but definitely going forward, the administrative expenses is just $8.7 or $9 million. Regarding the VAT and the soya, the law is the following. So the hello.
Yeah.
So regarding soya exports, the farmers are entitled to export soya without any restriction. But if you're not a farmer, if you export the soya, you're not entitled to get the VAT back. So generally speaking, we believe it's a more positive news for the country and for the generally the crushing sector, because it will help the utilization ratio. Generally speaking, we're not really looking at to crush soya more, but I'm sure a lot of small players and meat players, they will take soya on board, and this will make the more sunseeds available for the crushing for our plant. Our own production soya, which we produce on our farming operation, we will see. We have options. We might export it as our farming entity on the market, or we will crush it. It will depend a little on the market and the prices of the meal and oil.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question today comes from Andrew Peredere from Concord Capital. Please go ahead.
Good day and thank you for the presentation, but I have the question. If we take an assumption that sunflower yields will be flat year on year, where we can see the crushing margin?
Flat year on year, plus if we have this increase of the 400 right now, and plus soybeans, we still should have better margins. I don't think we should discuss this $5 or $10 because it's super tough to predict. But I still believe even if we get flat the yield year to year, we should have a better margin than $55 per ton of oil.
For the two
components. Yeah, but once again, 400,000, you got 1 million ton at least, plus soybeans will have some influence. So, I mean, we'll definitely have an improvement on this, on the sun seeds, on a crushing margin.
Okay, thank you.
The next question today comes from Natalia Shipkotska from Dragon Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you very much for the presentation. Can I please check a company's target net debt level for the current financial year? Thank you.
Anastasia, can you comment on that, please?
Net debt by the end of the year, 550, 570, plus minus.
Understood. Thank you very much.
The next question today comes from Andrea Rembelski from Pekao. Please go ahead, Andrea. Andrea, your line is now open. Please ask your question. We currently have no further questions on the phone line, so I'll hand back to the speakers.
If I may, just Martin Gontaž, one more question from my side.
Yeah.
If you could comment, like, what's the maximum allowed exposure for Avere? I mean, when they trade on their own book, because this was a very nice gain this quarter, but as I understand, there is some leverage involved probably, and so if you could tell us what the exposure they can take.
So for the time when they've been trading, the total VAR limit was a four million average was a $4 million dollars. So that's what we probably will keep going forward. Well, it's not only VAR. We have a package of a limitation of the drawdown and other things as well. But maybe there's more simple things to look at as a VAR. So we should not get it more than $4 million.
Okay, thank you.
We have some more questions from the telephone lines, if you'd like to take those.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you very much. Our next question is a follow-up question from Stella Cridge from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi there, thanks. It was actually also in relation to Avere. So, you know, I understand that you're explaining that you want to limit the risk of that entity, but what was the reason it actually managed to make such a large profit in Q3? Was it related to a particular commodity? It would be just great to get that insight. And if you don't mind me asking one clarification on our previous discussion about the EBITDA per hectare, just to understand properly, when you're saying this jump in EBITDA per hectare year on year, are you baking into that an assumption of an overall stronger harvest, or is this closer to, you know, kind of comparing apples with apples example? That would be great.
No, the farming EBITDA per hectare is a combination of the several inputs. Assuming we have the same level of the hectares, same amount of hectares, numbers of hectares we have from 18 to 19, the number one factor is the yield should be better. Once again, if the weather will not bring bad surprises. Number two is the top commodity prices. We already see that in our budget, what we plan, the prices for the soft commodity, for the corn and the wheat and sun seeds are already higher than we plan it. So this is definitely helps our performance in the farming segment. So this is the two main components which will improve our results next year. If we would be managing to improve the yields and with current soft commodity prices on the market, we would definitely have the around $240-$250 per hectare the results.
But say, for example, if you had the same yield in Ukraine, I mean, the same harvest in Ukraine year on year,
Don't look at Ukraine. Look at our own operation.
Okay. But I guess what I'm getting at is that you got a whole lot of new farmland. Obviously, that was all not producing at full capacity. So just organically, what kind of yield improvement you can get when stripping out any external market factors?
Because the yield. I didn't get your question. Can you say again, please?
So, for example, if I'm just keen to know that as you improve the productivity of this new land that you acquired, because
yeah.
from what I understand, it wasn't optimal completely in this financial year because it was very early. So just organically, on average, what kind of earnings improvement could you deliver, organic improvement, if you strip out factors to do with price and the overall weather conditions?
I need to take a look at this. I don't want to mislead you with the how much it's going to be the additional contribution if we just improvement from the old land. I can't answer you right straight away. I mean, I will ask the Anastasia. She will just drop you email and we will answer it to you just exactly. But once again, because the yield last year, it's also not very like, I mean, it's pretty relative because last year we had the drought in the central of Ukraine. And the 40% of our land was in a drought region, so even in our good land, we had a pretty poor yield as well. So we expecting this year improvement even on our old land, which is we cultivated many years. So it's kind of a combination. You see what I mean? So it's not like what the only new land performed pretty badly. Yes, but also our existing land wasn't satisfied partially with the performance of the yields.
Okay. And on the Avery question?
Can you say it again? Because I was just already gone from my head.
No,
what's
sure.
the question?
Yeah. So I was saying that, of course, you've said quite clearly that you want to restrict the risk limits in this entity.
Yep.
But if this is the case, just keen to understand what was the reason that they made such a large profit in Q3? Was it related to particular commodity or strategy? Just to understand why that jump was so large.
It was this coming last few months was a pretty high volatility. They were running pretty low VAR and was pretty successful with the getting market in and out, and it was a pretty good arbitrage between origination between South America and the Black Sea. So I think they've done a pretty good job of getting into the market in the right level and get out of the market in the right timing. And I wouldn't call it sustainable, and I wouldn't call it for that we should expect this same profitability going forward in a stable, in a sustainable way. That's why I'm really I'm pretty like cautious in this respect, because I would think like if we give them a VAR of 4 million and if they can produce the ratio of like 3-4 times the VAR, let's say like they can produce up to $15 million profit, that would be the good stable, taking the conservative approach to the trading. So, I would look at these numbers.
Okay, that's helpful. Many thanks.
Thank you.
Our next question today comes from Jana Anakina from BCP Securities. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, thank you so much for presentation and taking questions. If we could go back to covenants on your Eurobond and your other financial assets, the connection was not very great. Could you please repeat what is your covenants for Eurobonds and for the other financial assets? Thank you.
Thank you. Anastasia, would you comment, please?
Yes, so for the bond, the main covenant is EBITDA to fixed charges. It's very close to interest coverage ratio. Should be less than 3.
So it's EBITDA to interest coverage.
Yeah.
Okay. EBITDA to interest.
Should not be less than 3 times. The second covenant, which is in our PXF facilities, is net adjusted debt, means total debt minus cash minus inventories, should not be higher than 1.3. Tested as of 30th of June.
So, just to recap to make sure I understood correctly, the PFX facilities, which you said you have around 200 million, they are net debt to EBITDA, and the debt you're calculating as debt minus cash minus current inventories, right? Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yes. So-called readily marketable inventories.
Okay.
And,
so debt minus cash minus inventories. Okay. Okay, understood.
That's net
Thank
adjusted
you.
Debt, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
The next question today comes from Konstantin Dasolves from Admin Capital. Please go ahead, Konstantin.
Hi. Thank you for the call. Just two questions. So you mentioned that Avera will cost you roughly $9 million per year to run in SG&A. Do you book all of that into your grain segments? That's the first question. And the second one is, since we have those gains from Avera in the grain segment right now, we don't really see where the margins on actual real grain trading are at the moment. Could you talk about that a bit, and how do you see those evolving going forward? Thank you.
Yeah. Anastasia, I guess we booked the $9 million into the overall GNA, correct? Not in the grain segment, right?
It's combination of both. It's partly included in grain segment, partly in unallocated. And once again, it's not $9 million because, as you mentioned, $9 million, this is cost for the whole year.
This is for a whole year, so that's divided 12.
Yeah, related to the quarter, yeah. But
is it like 50-50 roughly, just to have an idea, roughly 50-50 split for the overall and half of it to the grain segment, or is it just a bit to the grain segment?
Honestly, we can need to check.
Okay.
And regarding your second question, this year we see the trading margin in Ukraine. It's pretty low. I would say it's like almost zero, like $1, $2 max, so which is absolutely nothing at the moment. And unfortunately, what we see going forward, we think the margins will remain weak, once again, because the competition is very high and entry bearing is pretty much for free. So the companies coming to Ukraine deploy working capital and start to trade on a CPT and FOB basis and speculate on this environment. So very tough to make money back to back. So the company strategy is really focusing on infrastructure, where we believe the margins will be at least a certain period of time sustainable or pretty high at least. So, and that's why we are investing at the moment into our terminal and investing in our silos, domestic silos. So that's where we believe the margin is, and where we will focus and at least in the midterm strategy. So we don't count that the margin and the trading activity in Ukraine will come back. We calculate it as $1-$2 max per ton.
Okay, I see. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Sergey Duvin from Hardening Lovda. Sergey, please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Just a quick question, not to beat the dead horse, but just to understand a little bit better on this Avera operation. So as I understand it, you own, Kernel as an entity owns 60% of that, and then the other 40 is owned by the...
Correct.
Principles. So, and again, as I understand it, you guys have an arrangement where, as equity holders, these guys are entitled to, obviously, their share of the profits. So if that's the case, can you just discuss what are the costs? And if $9 million a year seems like a pretty big number, I understand there is some sort of, computer equipment, et cetera, but what are the real costs that you guys are running through this operation, given the fact that, these principals as equity owners are entitled to a pretty substantial chunk of profits?
Yeah. So, $9 million, that's including the everything pretty much. So main part, of course, is the salary and employees. We've got, right now we have three offices, Miami, Geneva, Singapore, and just including the future office in Shanghai to trade the Chinese market. So this is only $9 million. I would say even giving the 40% of shareholders, including in the salaries and stuff, and that's the cost. I mean, I wouldn't say it's too much, but yeah, that's costly.
And their trading is limited to soft commodities, presumably, right? So they're not
100%, 100%,
right?
100% only.
Okay. Thanks.
The next question is a follow-up question from Martin Novak. Please go ahead.
Hi, I just want a follow-up question because you just said that currently the grain trading margin in Ukraine is around $1 or $2 per ton. And I remember that in your 2021 strategy, you assumed grain trading margin at $5 per ton. Also, in terminal segment, the assumed margin strategy is around $10 per ton. When currently we are having margin around $9. Do you see a pressure going forward on the margins in grain trading business, both silo, grain trading, and grain segments?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, in terms of the grain trading margins, maybe $5 is looking a little bit optimistic with our presentation, which we produced. We still believe that margins on the silos are pretty stable, and we think going forward in the midterm, 4 or 5 years, it should stay in the same level. Ports margins are a bit question mark, depends on the harvest in Ukraine. We still believe it will be high, and the profitability will be extremely good, but it might be vary from $10 to $9 or $8.5. Will depend on a harvest volume which Ukraine will produce, because we also can see that the other terminals are building. And it definitely will put the pressure on the throughput fees in Ukraine. So it will be up and down. And obviously the trend, if the more terminals will be built in the next 5, 7, 10 years, the margin will be compressing. But we believe we have at least lag of 4 or 5 years of the pretty good profitability on the terminal.
Okay, thank you.
We have no further questions, so I'll hand back to the team.
It was a long call and many questions. Thank you very much. And anyway, if we not answer all your questions, as usual, please feel free to contact the Investor Relations Department. I'm sure they're going to address all your concerns and additional questions. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.